few hours ago in Russia, Vladimir Putin delivered a 7-minute televised address to his nation. And a lot happened in that address. He talked about mobilizing as many as 300,000 reservists could be brought into the war. He talked about nuclear threats, said it's not a bluff, all kinds of things. So to go through the latest developments, a big day with the whole Russia-Ukraine situation, we're going to chat now with Marcus Koga, the founder of disinfowatch.org and a senior fellow at the McDonald Laurier Institute Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad. Marcus, thank you for joining us once again. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me on, Shay.
So I guess the big headline here, the number one takeaway, mobilizing possibly hundreds of thousands of reservists. What does that tell us about how Putin is viewing the progress of the situation right now?
Well, Shay, look, we're in the 7 months of what Vladimir Putin initially called a 3-day operation to denazify Ukraine. Things have not been going well. They've been on a downward slide over the past several months. And in the last 2 weeks, we've seen massive gains by the Ukrainian army in the east of Ukraine and now in the south of Ukraine. And I think that, you know, this mobilization, the statement that there are going to be 4 areas of eastern Ukraine where Russia has illegally occupied territory, they're going to be holding sham referendums to call on Russia to accept them as part of Russia. All of this, what it tells me is that Vladimir Putin is desperate. He is in a panic. The situation domestically in Russia is rapidly deteriorating. Support for his war is fading. With this conscription, call for conscription, and the mobilization of these 300,000 men, and this may only be the beginning.
Right.
There is a mass flight of Russian men leaving Russia. Apparently, all the flights out of Russia for the next 2 weeks are completely booked up. So things are not going well. Things are deteriorating domestically. Like I said, Vladimir Putin is right now in a serious panic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the cost of flights has soared to about $10,000 U.S. to get out of the country, and they're sold out. It just mass panic to get out. Okay, so let's walk through a couple of things. First of all, it's not like he's just reaching down and getting 300,000 fully trained, ready to go, and equipped soldiers. He's talking about getting guys out of prison, expanding the age up to 60. Like, it's not like this is an immediate reactionary force even, right?
No, you're absolutely right, and thanks for bringing up that initiative. One of those points that he's trying to enlist conscripts. The man that they call Putin's chef, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who runs a private military contract group called Wagner, which has been involved in all sorts of atrocities in Africa over the past few years. There was a video that emerged just 3 or 4 days ago where he went into one of Russia's most notorious prisons filled with murderers and rapists and such. And suggested to all of these prisoners, these convicts, that if they served on the front, that they would eventually be released. And so far, he's been able to enlist 3,000 convicts. One of them, according to a report 2 days ago, is a cannibal. He was imprisoned for eating people, killing people, and then eating them. These are the types of people that Vladimir Putin is trying to enlist into his failing effort right now. Further to your point about the conscripts, the 300,000 that he's looking at, these are not, battle hardened troops. These are people that may have been gone through training, 10 right. years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, even like you said, 60-year-old men. It's not necessarily going to help him in the front. And this is not instantaneous either. It's not like these men will suddenly appear tomorrow. It's going to take a lot of time to get them trained up, to get them equipped to go to the front. And even then, there's no, I don't think there's any indication that it'll help. Right now, what we've been seeing over the past couple of weeks is Russian troops deserting their positions, just jumping out of their tanks and fleeing, running literally back to Russia. And there's no reason to believe that the morale will be any different with these conscripts. So I'm not sure that it's going to make too much of a difference on the ground with these conscripts if they ever do arrive to the front. And the other thing to keep in mind is that a lot of the equipment that Vladimir Putin has been breaking down. The sanctions that we've imposed on him have inhibited his ability to actually, they've terminated his ability to fix any of those weapons. So he's using basically Soviet-era museum pieces on the front lines right now, and they're no match for the Ukrainian army and certainly the Western weapons that we've supplied them. So, the situation, even with these conscripts, doesn't mean, I don't think it'll change the situation too much tactically or strategically on the ground. And I think that Ukraine will continue having this success, even though the conscripts are going to be arriving in the coming months.
Marcus, as you said, we're 7 months into this now, and it hasn't been going well for some time. Is the hesitation or the fact that it's taken this long for Putin to try and pull some lever that he may have access to because it's wildly popular, unpopular within Russia, and this kind of comes across as an admission that things are not going well and any support that he might have within the country will be further eroded and put him at more peril?
Well, yeah, that's a great point, Shay. That the war hasn't been entirely popular, but there hasn't been that much criticism of it either, or there hasn't been much broad criticism of it. There were initial protests in the first few weeks, but they were violently repressed. There were some 15,000 protesters who were detained and put into prison. They're facing charges, and many of them up to 10 years in prison. And so that was quite effective in silencing any criticism. But, of course, over the past week or two, we've seen that criticism rise. We've seen municipal councillors in Moscow and St. Petersburg, at least 50 of them, they've put together a public petition calling on Vladimir Putin to resign. There are various different oligarchs who have spoken out about the war. But most importantly, Russia's most popular pop singer, Alla Pugacheva, who was seen as a very close ally of Vladimir Putin's over the years, often seen partying and dining together, she came out 2 days ago and criticized this war. So if that's the case, there are definite cracks appearing. I think that's one reason why we're seeing this this panic sort of conscription, these threats of nuclear war, is that the situation domestically is deteriorating for Vladimir Putin, and he needs to respond somehow. Because ultimately, the end of Vladimir Putin will not come in any other way other than a sort of a grassroots uprising by the people of Russia. And, I think that, as someone who's been watching Vladimir Putin for the past 20 years, I see the seeds of that being planted right now. And I would argue that this could be what we're seeing right now could be the beginning of the end of Vladimir Putin.
Wow. Now, the other question that comes up every time we talk about this, that desperation that you're talking about, when he is pushed into that corner, when he is that desperate, the end of Vladimir Putin, he was talking about nuclear weapons again today and saying it is not a bluff. Is it a bluff? How real is that risk, Marcus?
Well, look, I think that we have to assume. I mean, this guy is desperate. He is a rat that is in the that is being forced into a corner right now. We haven't forced him into a corner. He's forced himself into that corner due to his own incompetence and the people around him. I think we should expect him to lash out. He has biological weapons, chemical weapons. He has nuclear weapons. He has not hesitated over the past 7 months to target tens of thousands of civilians who have been killed, hospitals, schools, in Ukraine. So, we're dealing with someone who not only, I don't think he has a moral conscience, I think he's a little bit, a bit of a psychopath as well. So I would expect him to use some sort of tactics or some sort of weapons of mass destruction to further terrorize Ukraine. But I would be extremely surprised if he used any sort of nuclear weapons, especially the kind of nuclear weapons that might threaten European nations or Canada or the United States. Because the one thing that the single goal that Vladimir Putin has is survival. And, if he were to engage in a broader sort of nuclear conflict, that would mean the end of Vladimir Putin. He knows that. So when he's talking about nuclear weapons, he may be threatening the use of tactical nuclear weapons. These are nuclear weapons with very, limited destructive yield that can be used on, parts of a city, on the battlefield and such.
Right.
He may do that, but I don't think that there's any threat of a broader nuclear conflict, although he would like to make us believe that he is actually threatening that.
That strategic tactical nuke that you're talking about, would that demand a response from the West, though? Biden has told him, do not do that. Does that red line stand if it's, like you say, something strategic, tactical, and not widespread?
Well, that's a good question. I think the West would have to respond in some way. Now, whether that's, I don't think that it's a nuclear response necessarily, But we need to, I think that it would require us to increase the kinds of weapons that we're sending to the Ukrainians. That should include perhaps long range artillery, the kind of artillery that might strike into places like Crimea and other parts of Ukraine that are occupied by Russia. So, yeah, I mean, it would require a response. I just don't think that the West would necessarily respond
escalated with
nuclear weapons.
Gotcha. Marcus, incredible insight as always. Thank you so much for joining us.